Eretz Yisrael, the Har Moriah. Vayifka b'amokim vayolam alay lahu. He davened Ma'ariv. Ma'ariv lechatchila. We davened Ma'ariv tseisak echavim machlekes Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanon plag mincha tseisak echavim. So we went meigin in ba'isinyan to learn about when exactly is the zman of tseisak echavim. So we learned a lot. Yesterday we did what we did. Today I want to look at it a little bit differently. And I think what is unique, after spending some time with the Sefer, what is unique about the Sefer is there's a basic contradiction between two pieces of Gemara as to when is Tseisak Echavim, which we're going to go through. I want to spend some time on the sources today. And the question is Tseisak Echavim 3/4 of a mil after sunset? Now, by the way, sunset is not so easy to define. We'll discuss that soon in a moment. Or is Tseisak Echavim 4 mil? Okay, there's a very big difference. How much is a mil? Is a mil 18 minutes or is a mil 24 minutes? So he works with the principle, the Gra learns that a mil is 22.5 minutes. 22.5 minutes is a mil, which would then mean that 3/4 of a mil is approximately almost 17 minutes. And that would make, how would long be 4 mil? 90 minutes? 4 mil would be 22 and a half multiplied by 4 is 90. 90. 22 and a half multiplied by 4 is 90. That would make the later Zman would be 90. We are very familiar with Rabbeinu Tam at 72. That uses the assumption that a mil is 18 minutes. Okay, 18-minute matzah. Our matzahs today are all basically 18 minutes. If they would be able to make matzah for 22.5 minutes, they would make a lot more money. Matzah should be cheaper. No, it should be cheaper. If they have 24 minutes. They should make a takon in Klal Yisrael that a mil is 24 minutes. And that should definitely, the price of matzah should drop by a half. Because they can do a shift. They can do much, much more in a shift. They can do much, much more in a shift. You can get much more manpower. The cost of matzah should go down a lot more. A lot more if they're using 22.5 minutes. I told you there was once a Din Torah, Chabad. Chabad does, I think 22 or 24. Chabad doesn't go for 18. 24? I don't know, it could be 24, Chabad is 24, and there was the matzah baking factory where they go 24 minutes. The only difference is that they separate the matzahs that are complete by 18 minutes from the matzahs that are complete by 24 minutes. Anything that's complete by 18 minutes, they sell to the Hamoinam, who wants 18-minute matzah, and anything that goes between 8 and 24, they sell to Chabad, because Chabad, they don't care. Chabad, you can go until 24 minutes. Vayihi hayoim, there was a mix-up.
You do the same thing in meat.
Yeah?
Yeah.
With salting?
With various, the hashkafas are 1, 2, 3, and 6. They have the boxes are marked.
Zman.
1, 2, 3, and 6. One is shorabar, that's with badats, you know, their own hashkafa. And then you have 2 and 3, which is one is broyers, one is this, one is, and 6 is not glot.
Not glot. So this is a mix-up. It's a mix-up. Oh, fine, whatever. Okay, let's go back to that topic. So we have here, let's for the moment now work with these numbers that a mil, 3/4 of a mil is 17 minutes and 22 and 4 mil is 90 minutes. We like to hear the number 72. Fine, either 72 or 90 minutes. Fine. So we have a contradiction. I'll read the Gemara in a moment to present the contradiction. How do we answer the contradiction? There are many different answers. Today, the famous answer is either to the Golek Rabbeinu Tam or the Goinim. In this wonderful Sefer, he goes and explains exactly what that means in very, very great detail. It's really a misnomer to say the Goinim. It's really first. Too much for me to memorize to understand. But with our terminology, it's either Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam says that it's 72. The Iker is 4 mil. And we have to explain that when we read the Gemara in a moment, versus the Goinim is that the Tseisak Echavim is 17 minutes, is Tseisak Echavim. the stars is nighttime, 17 minutes, and when the Gemara says 4 mil, it means something else. It means when all the stars come out. We'll get to that a little bit later on. Okay, so we have a contradiction. And the truth is, there's a contradiction in the Gemara. Is it 17 minutes? Is it 90 minutes? We'll use those numbers for the sake of simplicity. 17 versus 90. How do you reconcile this contradiction? So throughout the ages, going back almost 800 years, 900 years, whatever it is, going back to the time of the Rishonim have been grappling to reconcile the contradiction. And they write a lot. Rabbeinu Tam wrote quite a bit about this. He wrote about this in Tosfos, the Gemara, Masechta Shabbos, and he wrote about this in Sefer HaYosha. The Rambam wrote, you know, so maybe it's close to the door. So the Rambam wrote, the Rabbeinu Tam wrote about this, and he wrote a Sefer called Sefer HaYosha, and he writes a lot. And he's very clear what he means, what his understanding. Rabbeinu Tam had a Talmud. He had a very close Talmud, which was called the Yireim. Okay? It was his Talmud. And the Talmud basically... Rabbi Elazar Mimintz, right? Very good. Rabbi Elazar ben Nosson Mimintz. And he basically... Ravan, the Ravan.
Without the NZ.
The Ravon, and he agreed and disagreed with his Rebbe. The nuances I don't understand. It's called he's known for the Sefer Yireim. And then after the Ramban, after Rabbeinu Tam and his Talmud, the Sefer Yireim, there are many more people who came along. There's the Maharam Al Ashkar, who basically presented, made the world aware of the Goinim, the Shidus HaDar, of Hai Goin, of Sadi Goin, all the Goinim got involved. There was these are all the new things to me, the Sefer called the Minchas Koyin. He was an astrologer. He has quite a bit to say about this. And then, of course, there's the Gra. The Gra has even more to say about this. And then there is something that he deals with in Sefer at very great length, is the Chumas HaDeshen. Now, honestly, this is way over my head. But what I did pick up in this Sefer is something very, very fascinating, is that he looks at these opinions with a different perspective. He looks at these opinions, not what they said and the results of understanding how to reconcile the contradiction between the two Gemaras. Is it 17 minutes? Is it 90 minutes? But he looks at the time they lived and reads very carefully into what they wrote and explains and shows you that they're coming to a conclusion, a halachic conclusion, based upon their understanding of astronomy. And before you could read Rabbeinu Tam, you can open up the Tosfos, open up Sefer HaYosha, and read what Rabbeinu Tam says. You have to first understand how Rabbeinu Tam likely, no one knows for sure, I mean, he wrote a lot, quite a bit. It seems like it seems pretty clear that he presents astrology in his understanding. Astronomy, what am I saying? Astronomy in his understanding. Before you can read these goyim, these great people, of what they said in halacha, you have to first have the background to how they understood astronomy. And when you understand, when you know their understanding of astronomy, how they understand how everything works in the sky, and the sun, the moon, the stars, the planets, how everything is in motion, then you can have a full grasp of understanding how they reached their conclusion, how they presented their opinion. And everything fits like a glove. See, today, people like me, we don't know nothing, and you look at Rabbeinu Tam, and you look at the Goinim, and you have a question, the sun sets, and it gets a little dark, and then maybe if you know what you're doing, you can find three medium stars, but it's still plenty light outside, and then later in the time, it gets very dark. And we all know that it depends on where in the world you're standing, your latitude. It depends if you're on a hill, if you're in a valley. It depends if you're in New York, if you're in Germany, if you're in Poland, if you're in Eretz Yisrael, if you're in Bavel. We have an appreciation of that, so therefore we make some adjustments. but we're leaving out the most essential point of understanding the learning these sugyas. Don't even begin to read what the Gra says. Don't begin to read what Rabbeinu Tam says until you have clarity in the time that he lived and what was the common understanding of man in these times of how the heavenly bodies work, how they move. And even this debate, it's very difficult, goes back to the time of the Gemara. This is the Gemara says that there was a machloikis between the Chachmei Yisrael and the Chachmei Umos HaOlam. The Chachmei Yisrael held something very shocking, and if you want to take it literally, fine. If you don't want to take it literally, what it means is something which really needs a lot of explanation. And the Gemara says, the Chachmei Yisrael held that at night when the sun sets, the moment after, first of all, the Chachmei Yisrael, let's work with the assumption that the world is flat. Even though that's not true, and even the Chachmei Yisrael knew it's not flat, but put that aside for now. The world, let's make believe the world is one level plane, and the sun sets below the horizon. Where does the sun go? Where does it go? So according to the Chachmei Yisrael, there's a dome. There's a dark black dome over the world, and the sun exits a window. There's a window. It sets below the horizon, and it goes outside of a window. Once it's outside of that window, it then goes on top of this dome, on top of us in the opposite direction to get ready for tomorrow, where it's going to enter through a window and come out on the other side. This is what it says in the Gemara. The Chachmei Yisrael held a very superficial, naive, literal translation of the Gemara, which it cannot possibly be, but this is what it says. We have to read it in words.
What is the date that they recognized that the sun was the center of the universe?
The Chazal were long gone when the secular world came to recognize the heliocentric principle. Copernicus.
In Brochus, when it discusses constellations, it seems very clear that like Shmuel, who did all of these things, he seemed to understand totally that the world was round. From reading the Gemara.
I'm not knowledgeable to understand these things. But okay, let's talk about these things. But the Gemara says that the Chachmei Yisrael were under the understanding. You have to understand the model of how they looked at the world on a very simple level. We're in a world, and this world, let's make an assumption now for the sake of simplicity, the world is flat. On top of us, there is a dome. This dome completely separates us, this world, from anything above it. Completely shut, like a canopy. Yeah, you have a roof over your head. Way, way up there, there is a roof. And the roof is on an angle that goes 180 degrees. From one end of the civilized world to the other end of the civilized world, there is this dome. The dome is completely, completely sealed. And the dome goes a little bit below the earth. And the sun goes from east to west. The sun in the morning, it enters through a chaloin. There's a little aperture in this dome where the sun comes in. And the sun then goes along this dome on the inside. And it illuminates this world. And it travels from east to west. It goes a little bit to the north, to the south. It has its own cheshbon of where it wants to go. And when the day is over, it sets below the horizon, it exits this dome, and now it's in another world, it's in another area, and this is the Gemara. And then the sun, it goes on top, backwards. It travels backwards on top of the dome to get back to the opening position for tomorrow, for it to start again tomorrow. Now, when it goes on top of the dome, because we're in a dome, the light that the sun emits we're not going to see it because it's blocked by the dome. It sounds like really crazy, right? Really primitive to see such a thing. But that's what it says. It goes on top, it comes all the way back to the other end, and then it comes back, and then it comes back through the chaloin. The Chachmei Umois HaOilam disagree. This is in the Gemara. The Chachmei Umois HaOilam, they hold that when the sun sets, it doesn't go out of, there is no dome. I don't know whatever you want to say this, but there is no dome, but it goes below the earth. It travels underneath. It goes in one direction. The sun never goes in the opposite direction. The sun is always going in the same direction around the earth. The earth may taka be flat. Now we're not discussing whether the earth is round, but when the sun sets, it goes underneath the earth, and then it comes to the other, to the other side. Okay, now Rabbeinu Tam. Okay, that was the understanding of the Chachmei Yisrael. So who do you think Rabbeinu Tam is going to, when he comes to make a calculation, when is Laila? Is he going to follow the Chachmei Umay Sa'olam, or is he going to follow the Chachmei Yisrael? Of course he's going to follow the Chachmei Yisrael. We're always right. Of course he's going to follow the Chachmei.
So far, there's no difference during the day.
Okay, let's explain another point. We are going to try to, we have to really read all these words. There's a lot. All I want to do today is just bring out some of the variables, some of the issues, not to go through all the precise definition of how all this works according to each opinion. Just at least to get some appreciation of the concepts.
Does it have the Hebrew words for the
Hebrew words, the Gemara? Okay, I really should read that. Yeah. Okay, yes. Yes, you're right. Let's get that Gemara open here. It's probably in the beginning. The Sefer, he has in the beginning of the Sefer. Alright, it's gonna take me time to find to track it down. I'll get a few before we leave. Mm-hmm. I'll get over here. Tanu Rabbanan. Okay, good. We should read the Gemara. Okay, Tanu Rabbanan. Chachmei Yisrael Oimrim Biyoim, during the day, Chamo Mehaleches Lemata Min Harakia. Uva Laila Lamaila Min Harakia. Vachachme Umois Hoilam Oimrim Biyoim Chama Mahaleches Lamata Min Harakia. Uva Laila Lamata Min Hakarka. Omar Rebbe Vinirin Divrehen Midivrenu. It appears they're right. Why? Shebiyoim. Why? Because Shabayim, during the day, the Mayonois, the fountains, are hot. Tsoininin, uvalayla roischin. Because by day, the water in the fountains are hot. Why are the water in the fountains hot during the day? Because the sun is underneath the ground warming them up. And at night, they're cold. Because at night, the sun is not warming them up. So it appears that this Gemara is a mystery beyond mysteries. This Gemara is Psochim Daf Tzadi Dalid Amid Beis. Psochim, one more time the words of the Gemara. Tanu Rabbanan. Chachmei Yisrael Oimrim Biyoim, during the day, the Chama Mahalechas Lemata Min Harakia. What is the Rakia according to this simple interpretation? The Rakia is a dome. It is a dome that's not porous. Nothing can pass through this dome. It's lamata min harakia uva laila. So what happens when the sun sets? You have to read the whole Gemara mafarshim on the Gemara uva laila. The similar understanding is the dome. This is the way the Rabbeinu Tam explains this Gemara. In fact, uva laila, and then at night, lamaila min harakia, because the rakia is sealed. So how did the sun get out of being trapped in within the rakia? There's a little window, a little aperture on the bottom of the earth, and the sun escapes. It escapes out of this world. You ever want to escape somewhere? Follow the sun. Escapes out of this little hole, and then once it's out of this hole, there are no rules anymore. It can do whatever it wants. And then the sun goes on top of the, no one's watching it. No one's watching it. It goes on top of the rekia and goes backwards. Uvalayla lemayla min rekia to get back to its starting position. The chachmei umos oilam oimim, no such thing. Biyoim chamam aleches lemata min rekia. They use the same terminology, below the rekia. Uvalayla lemata min akarka. It would appear that according to the chachmei umos oilam, the sun never escapes the rekia. The sun is always bound inside the rekia. Amar Rebbe v'nirin, it appears. Now, when it says, what does it mean it appears to be correct? Does that mean they are right, or just we're being fooled? To the naked eye, to the person that's not so sophisticated, you would right away give credit to the Chachmei Umo Yisraelam, but you should know they're really wrong. Is that what he means to say? V'nirin, to the naked eye, it appears to be that they're correct, divreinu mi divreihem mi divreinu, because of the mayonis. This Gemara is a sealed book, is a mystery what this whole Gemara means. Some will even tell you, don't even look at this Gemara, because this Gemara, but in Rabbi Notice, exactly, what is it? Right, so Rabbi Notice, he doesn't like that type of talk, and don't look at these Gemaras. He takes these Gemaras very, very seriously. And he says, read what HaRabbeinu Tam understands this Gemara. And when you fully understand his knowledge of astronomy, then you'll be able to appreciate what he says. Today, we have a whole different understanding of astronomy. We have a whole different appreciation of the reality of the Metzius. And therefore, that was what we discussed yesterday. We have to adjust. We have to basically thoroughly reject Rabbeinu Tam. That's this whole premise of the book is basically that. Is that as you go through all of the generations, the Sefer Yireim, and then you go to the Minchas Kohen, and you go to the Gra, and you go to even going backwards, Tam of the Goyim, and you go to all the Poiskim throughout the generations, before you read what they say. Sometimes they explain, they express themselves, they express their understanding of astronomy, but the end of the day is they're always wrong based upon what we know today. What we know today with science, we have a very, very different appreciation of how the heavenly bodies operate. And therefore, that was yesterday's shir in the Metzius. But what he does in a very beautiful way, which is over my head, is he analyzes how the Rabbeinu Tam understood astronomy, and now we can understand exactly what he's trying to say in coming to reconcile the contradiction between two very famous pieces of Gemara that contradict themselves and tell us that the time of night is either 17 minutes after sunset, what we call sunset, versus 90 minutes after what we call sunset. So let's get, this is one yisur. We'll try to explain more. I just want to lay out some principles before we get back and we try to reconcile, read the Gemaras again. Read the Gemaras about the two Gemaras. Another very important principle. This is a very, very powerful yisur. Whoever said night has anything to do with the sun? The terminology that the Gemara uses about night is when the stars come out. Seis ha-koychavim. Now, let's work backwards. Today, it is a dover poshut ad me'od. The stars don't go anywhere. The horaya, what's the biggest proof to this? If there's a solar eclipse, then what happens? In the middle of the day, you can see the stars. If there will be a solar eclipse and it gets dark at night, you can see the stars in the middle of the day. In the middle of the day, you can see the stars. However, if you learn with this principle of the rokia, like the Rabbeinu Tam, the Gemara, there's a rokia, this very incredible chiddush. The same way the sun leaves and enters at precise times, the stars also arrive and depart into the rokia at precise times during the day. L'may nafkamina, if the word would be theoretically the sun would go dark in the middle of the day, make believe the sun would just shut down, would not emit any light in the middle of the day, would you see stars? Would you see stars? Mm-hmm. If you're working with an ancient understanding of astrology, this astronomy, if you work with an ancient understanding of astronomy, then the same way the sun enters the Rokia and the sun leaves the Rokia, the stars enter the Rokia at night and the stars leave the Rokia at night. The stars don't stick around the whole day. We know today the stars are always there. The stars ain't going nowhere. But the sun's not there. Let's look at it from our perspective. Scientifically, what we have to appreciate is that the stars are so far away, it doesn't make a difference, our movement. The further away you are, the more you can see them no matter what. When it comes to the Earth and the Sun, the distance between the Earth and the Sun, relatively speaking, we're pretty close. We're buddy-buddy. Only how many billion miles away is the Sun? How many?
93
billion or million?
Million
miles. Okay, so relatively, billion? Relatively speaking, we're pretty close. We're very close to the Sun, relatively speaking. From the stars. So the stars, we see the stars no matter what. We're able to see stars no matter, over a much longer period of time, because the stars, even though the Earth turns, okay, so it's just, but because they're so far away, it's a different perspective. So the perspective that we have of the sun is not our perspective we have of the stars. They did not understand that in ancient times. In ancient times, there was this understanding that the same way you see the sun, you see the stars. There was a lack of understanding that because of the distance, not just a small distance, an enormous distance between the sun and the stars, that creates a totally different reality in our understanding of astronomy. Now, going back, theoretically speaking, according to Rabbeinu Tam, theoretically speaking, this is what it results according to Rabbeinu Tam in the way he actually describes it. Just like the sun rises and the sun sets, the sun enters the Rokia through a window, and the sun leaves the Rokia through a window. The stars, when it's nighttime, they enter the Rokia, and when the night is over, they leave the Rokia. And they pretty much coordinate with the sun. But the emes is, they have nothing in common, nothing to do with one another. We know in modern understanding of how all this works is that they're directly related. The stars are always there. It's when the sun says goodbye, off, good riddance. Now we can finally see the stars. Because as long as the sun is present, its light completely blocks out our ability to see the stars. But the stars are there. They're always there, the stars. During the day, it's only because of the intensity of the sun we cannot see the stars. But if the sun would disappear, then here you are. They aren't going nowhere. Rabbeinu Tam appears not to have learned like that. Rabbeinu Tam appears to learn that the same way the sun is in motion from our perspective, and the sun comes and goes, the stars, they are in motion, they arrive and depart into the Rokia. When you say something like that, it comes out an incredible chiddush, and that is, day and night have nothing to do with each other, and in fact they can overlap. Or you can have a zman that's lo yom v'lo laila. Let's say the sun is on strike. I'm not coming this morning. This morning I got a doctor's appointment in a different rokia somewhere else. So you guys manage. Make sure you have a lot of candles to get through the day, because I'm not showing up today. So, did the stars come today? Stars on strike. We only come at night. Our schedule says that we should enter into the Rokia 6 o'clock at night. Just because the sun's on strike, So good for the son. He's on strike. I don't have to go work double time. I don't have to work overtime.
Basically, what's the definition of night? Is when the sun disappears, when the sun...
Well, it all depends on how you understand astronomy. That's where it all boils down to. If you learn, if you take a very simplistic ancient understanding and a literal translation of the Gemara, it can come out, the result can be, you can have a time during the day that is both halachically day and night. And you can have a time during the day that's lo yom v'lo laila. The Gemara says, when are you supposed to learn chochmas yivanis? When? When should you learn? Can I learn? The person asked his Rebbe. Rebbe, I know Kol Tarakula. I heard Lebavli, Yerushalmi, Medrash, all the Midrashim. I know Zoyar, Asichas, Shedim. Can I now learn Chochmas Yevonis? So he says, yeah, you could do it. Just learn at a time that's not day and that's not night. V'hogisa bo yoimam v'layla. So if you can find a time during the day that's not day or night, you can learn. What kind of answer is that? Just tell him no. What's the Agisabo Yom of Alayla? Well, according to Rabbeinu Tam, you know what the result is? Theoretically, there can be a time that's not day, that's not night. When? If the sun's on strike. Let's say the sun, let's say the stars. My watch says work is over at 6 o'clock. We're out of here. 6 o'clock comes, they pack up their bags, the stars, they're gone. The sun.
I mean, literally on Yud Beis, on the Beis, I believe it is, and it says that there is approximately a half hour in the day, in the 24-hour day, where you could still daven Meir, but you could also daven Shacharis already.
Only Kriyashma, not davening, because that's with a Shoch Becha. That's because it's not holy in night. It's holy when you go to sleep. It's a different din. According to Rabbeinu, not necessarily. The Gemara, because you can.
But that's not
a din in day and night. Kriyashma is not a din in day and night. It's a din uve shoch becham uve kumecha. Zman shchiv and zman kibecha. We have over here, according to Rabbeinu Tam, an incredible chiddush. And that is, if your understanding of what is day, day is the domain of the Shemesh. La Shemesh kara yoim, what does it say in the pasuk? It says in the pasuk, the
La'or
yoim. La'or yoim. Or is yom. What? Look at the terminology of the Gemara. Of night. When is night? Night is Tseis HaKoychavim. What do you mean the stars come out? The word Tseis is a verb. The word Tseis is a movement. According to modern astronomy, there's no movement. What do you mean the stars come out? What it means is the sun left, and now that the sun left, oh, finally I can see what you look like. They didn't go nowhere. They didn't go nowhere. They just, because someone is...
Nearer.
What's this nusach tseis hakoychavim? It's not correct.
Well, you have that language in the Chumash all the time. Hashem is Yotzah Aretz.
So we can say Yotzah, because Yotzah we can say because the Shemesh moves. From our perspective, the sun is in motion. Okay, we know that's not so, but from that you can't fight with. From our perspective, the sun is in motion. From our perspective of modern astronomy, the stars are not in motion. Not that much. I mean, they are in motion, but relative to the sun, they're not in motion. Okay, they're in motion. We know that as time goes on, the Earth rotates. It's in motion, but relative to the sun, the stars don't go nowhere. Okay, the motion is so small, it's insignificant relative to the sun. So the sun rises, the sun sets, and the stars ain't going nowhere. So if you would just
Earth is rotating.
Okay, so it is moving, but the speed relative to each other, if at the moment you don't notice it. So if we could only go and succeed in turning off the light, shut down the sun, shut down the light of the sun, and what's going to happen today? You're going to see all the stars in the sky. The proof is that there's a solar eclipse. There's a solar eclipse, so then the light of the sun is dimmed, and then in the middle of the day, you can see the stars, right? For some reason, Rabbeinu Tam doesn't deal with solar eclipses. He knew all this a billion times better than we know this, but yet, according to the literal reading of the Gemara and a literal understanding of Chazal, the stars are in motion. There's a dome. The dome is completely empty. There's nothing in the dome. In the morning, the sun arrives, lights up the rakia. In the evening, simultaneous, the sun says goodbye. I have to go do my things now. It leaves the rakia through a window, and at kemat, the same time the sun leaves, guess who's here? We have a new guest for the night, evening. The stars, they come forward, they go forth. Tseis hakoichavim. You really should say the bo hakoichavim. The stars arrive, they're moving, they're arriving. They have nothing. Now, stars, the coming out of the stars is what defines night. The arrival of the sun, its presence in the rakia, defines day. If you could theoretically create a situation where the sun is in the rakia and the stars are in the rakia, you have created a moment in time that is both Yom V'Layla simultaneously. If you can theoretically create a Zman where there's no stars, because the stars, they didn't come, or they left, they already left already, they're gone for the night. It's already 6 o'clock in the morning, the stars said we've done our shift, and we're leaving through the windows. They're gone. And so Nu, where's the sun? The sun is supposed to take over the next shift. The sun is delayed. The sun missed the bus. The sun is delayed. Oh, wow. You know what we have now? We're now in a zone, a moment of time. Lo yoim veloy laila. This is what results. Now, when you appreciate that concept, that understanding of astronomy, that we're living on a flat earth and there's a dome that is completely contained, and there's nothing in that dome. And every day, by the grace of Hashem instructs the sun to come and spend some time with us. And then Hashem at night instructs the stars to come and spend some time with us. The sun and the stars have nothing, they have nothing in common. The sun represents day, and the stars represent night. Each one is thoroughly independent. If they for some reason want to overlap, we're going to have Yom V'Layla B'Vasachas. If they don't want to overlap, none of them shows up, then we have a Zman Lo Yom V'Lo Laila. And the Gemara says, you can learn Chochmas Yevanis when it's a time Lo Yom V'Lo Laila. If the stars are not here, it's not night. If the sun's not here, it's not day. Oh, that's a Zman when you can learn Chochmas Yevanis. It's such a reality. Now, in our modern 21st century understanding of astronomy, there's no such thing. The sun, there's no rakia. There is no such thing as this dome. There is no dome. The stars are always there. And Mimela, if the sun is not here, the stars are here. If the stars are here, it means the sun. They're mutually exclusive, because there is no such thing as a dome in our understanding of astronomy. And Mimela, it's impossible for there to be a time that's lo yoim v'lo laila, because if the sun is here, it's day. And if the sun has been dimmed to the degree where we can now see three medium stars, that means the sun's out of the picture. The sun's out of the picture. So now it's laila. It cannot possibly be a moment in time that's going to be both yom v'layla, or a moment in time that's going to be lo yom v'lo laila. There's a major fundamental difference between ancient understanding of astronomy versus a modern understanding of astronomy. In the modern understanding of astronomy, they're mutually exclusive. The stars are always there, and the sun is in motion, and when the sun is present, that's called day. And when the sun is dim to the point where I can now see stars, it's Laila. And they're always there. You can't go tell me they both didn't show up, and you can't go tell me that they can coexist, because they can't coexist. The mitzius, the reality, does not allow the sun and the stars to coexist. It doesn't allow it to happen. And the mitzius does not allow it to be the Azman, where no one's showing up. But in Rabbeinu Tam's understanding, because if he's going to learn like the Chachmei Yisrael, or even like the Chachmei Umos Ha'olam, and there's this appreciation that there is a concept called a dome, which is what he tied as a rukia, it blows your mind. What in the world we have over here? Oh, it's a window. And we have over here a time when the sun is present. Time is not. It creates a potential in the world of halacha for there to be yom v'layla bivasachas, and there's a potential for there to be lo yom v'lo layla, and that explains to a certain degree eclipses. When you have an eclipse, according to Rabbeinu Tam, you can have an eclipse that it's now mamish right now yom v'layla. There are stories like this in the Gemara. The Gemara talks about where the sun got dark in the middle of the day. Got dark in the middle of the day, and they daven Ma'ariv. We have all these very interesting cases. And then the sun came out again. The eclipse was over. So you daven Ma'ariv. Do you have to daven Ma'ariv again? Shachar. All these different situations. Not so positive. The whole story with the Gemara with Nagdimon Ben Gurion with the water. He made a Tanai whole condition, and the day they fill up the wells, and it got dark. It opens up when you learn like Rabbeinu Tam. And you enter into the world of make-belief. And you look at the world with a perspective that there's something called a rokia, a solid dome. And the sun and the stars, they enter and depart when they want and when they don't want. And then you're going to come across situations where they're both together, like during an eclipse, where the sun has been dimmed. But yet, and now you see stars. Where do they come from, those stars? Oh, they just happened to show up at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, right? They happened to get on the wrong bus, and they showed up. Yeah, they did. Or let's say you'll have an eclipse, I don't know if this is possible, where you don't see anything. Why? Maybe there's pollution. Maybe, I don't know, how do you look at this? How do you, is there a haze? Do you look at this, is it, let's say it's a cloudy day. Well, you can tell me that it's not Yom. Of course not, because there's still rays in life. But it opens up a whole new world of having Zmanim and going back in time, in fact, of Yom V'Layla or Lo Yom V'Lo Layla. Okay.
The story of Nachbimon, by the way, if you look at the Ein Yaakov world of the portion on the page there, it says there's such a wide explanation between one shot and, in other words, one person's opinion. We have like between the Marsha and the Al-Kosev and the Ein Yaakov, they give the interpretation of the story about all the times that the sun stood still, so to speak, what that really means.
Well, exactly.
Obviously, there's a major...
What does it really mean when the sun stood still? Exactly.
One says it can't be, because if the sun would stand, you know, if what we believe in, the whole earth would implode... You know.
Okay, now let's talk about some other more important things. Talk about sunset. What is called sunset? Now this is very important. When sunset, when you go look on, you look on. Terminology and the methods that are used even today for the last who knows how long were invented by the Greeks. And we have this principle that we create a 360 degree. Circle around us. Who invented that whole 360 degrees? The Greeks. Yafta l'kim l'yefes v'yishk. All of the Rishonim, they use their terminology. They use their inventions. It's a number which is easily divisible, 360. These things are all a lot of the understanding, a lot of the terminology and the techniques were invented by the Greeks, the Yavanim. And the fact that even ad hayoyim hazeh, the way when you learn all of these matters, where you use these numbers and these techniques, it is a fulfillment of what it says in the pasuk, yaft elokim li yefes, v'yishkon ba'ohal eshem. Because this now, for example, what is the size? The whole globe is, the way we look at it, 360 degrees. A complete circle, we, for convention purposes, we break it down into 360 parts. How large is the sun? How, when the sun is traveling, we have to know the size. The sun is a half of a degree, which is very important to know this point when it comes to measuring sunrise, sunset, and all these calculations. The sun is, the size of the sun is a half of a degree. If I'm not mistaken, when they tell you on the calendar, he writes this, maybe I'm misreading what he's saying, when they tell you, you go look on Google, when is sunset today? Does that mean when the sun begins to set? Or does it mean when the sun already, the ball of the sun has already, is below the horizon? Neither. Ways is that most of the time when they tell you sunset, it means when the sun is in the center of the horizon, which means there is one quarter of a degree above the horizon and one quarter of a degree below the horizon. You can see quite a bit at that point in time. Now, how fast does it take for the sun? Good question. What does Shakir really mean? That's another major, major disagreement amongst all of the Rishonim and Achronim. What is the precise translation of the word Shkia? And we like, sunset. Sunset is a very vague term because this world is a big circle and the circle has 360 degrees. The sun is approximately a half of a degree. That's how much space it takes up in this imaginary circle that we create. When you hear the word sunset, you look at a chart, a secular chart, you go to Google, what time is sunset today? You have to know what they mean by sunset. And many times he says, when they say sunset, that means that the sun, a quarter of a degree is below the horizon, and a quarter of the degree it's right in the center. That's called sunset. That's what I thought also. And then the question is, how quickly does it take until the other half of the sun goes below? So it depends where you live, of course. It depends on the latitude. It depends on many, many factors. Many factors it depends on. Then we're not finished yet. Because even when the ball of the sun goes below the horizon, and it's scientifically no longer here, you will still see, to the naked eye, the rays of the sun, because the light bends. So even though in reality the sun is below the horizon, you're still seeing, when you look at it, you're still seeing the sun. You see a sliver of the sun. What are you seeing? You're seeing something artificial. What do I mean by artificial? The sun is gone. The sun, it's not possible for you to see the actual sun. What you're seeing is the light bending. The light is bending, refraction, above the horizon, and that is, he has the exact measurements of how much of a degree.
It takes 8 minutes to come from the sun to Earth. Right.
Where you live, well, that's how much the light takes. But how quickly does the sun go below the horizon? When you talk about Shki, okay, it's now sunset. And now we want to calculate the Gra. The Gra says 17 minutes after sunset. First of all, what is sunset? Certainly, does it mean when the sun begins to set? Definitely not. It means when the sun already, they're different. The Rabbeinu Tam has a double Shkia. There are two Shkias. Okay, that will get to a little soon. But we have to just appreciate some of how complex this is. The way the Goyim defines sunset is not necessarily the way Halacha defines sunset. And furthermore, a very big mystery is, when you make these calculations, it's all very nice, you take out a piece of paper, and you make these sophisticated calculations, trigonometry, all the angles and this and that, and then, okay, so according to my calculations, the sun now has, from where I'm standing, I can no longer see the sun. Because the ball of the sun with precision, it's a half a degree, and now where I am, all my mathematical calculations, it's gone. And then, give a look. No, it's not. I see a sliver. I see a little sliver. It takes another minute or 2 minutes for that sliver to go. It doesn't make any sense. All of my mathematical calculations are down the drain. You can sit with all of your cheshbonis, your computer models, and make the calculation, and what I based upon where I am in my precise GPS location, with all the mountains and the vechulu vechulu, make all the ultra-perfect calculations, the sun should no longer be visible from where I am standing and looking out at the horizon. And you go and you pick up your eyes. What? What? Where did I make a mistake? I can see the sun. I can see the sun is still there. You know what the answer is? You made the correct calculations. The sun is no longer here. The sun is gone. But because in science, trust the science, light bends. So the light that's coming from the sun that is mamish, the mitzias of the sun that is below the horizon, is fooling you. Because as it comes to the sun, it's bending up. It's bending. It's not the sun. It's the light of the sun that is bending up and is presenting itself as a phony, a faker, as if the sun is still here. How does halacha deal with this refraction of the light, which can change a very big nafkamina, I mean, chil Shabbos, not chil Shabbos?
When they do the shkia, they base it on the U.S. Naval Observatory time.
But the way the naval the U.S. Observatory time, how they define shkia, is not necessarily the way halacha defines shkia. It's not necessary. We like to round things off. It's already too complicated. So whatever they say, shki is for us. Okay, yes and no. But these are all very important issues, and they make a nafkamina in the zman. Okay, now going back to Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam basically he says there are we have a contradiction. Let's try to work out some of these with what we said some of these issues. First thing is one other very important issue. Okay, and that is a pasuk in Nehemiah. Pasuk in Nehemiah says, "Va'anachnu oisim b'molacha me'alois hashachar ad." The best thing you could always use to support the starting points to define anything is a pasuk. If you have a pasuk, you cannot ignore it. And it says in Nehemiah when they were building the Beis Hamikdash, "Va'anachnu oisim b'molacha me'alois hashachar ad tseis hakoychavim." And it says here the Gemara darsh in this pasuk, "Va'hoyu lanu halayla." Mishmar v'hayoyim milocha. This is a critical pasuk in discussing this topic, where the pasuk says explicitly, we did milocha. When did we do milocha? We did work until ad v'loyad b'chlal tseis ha'koychav. The pasuk says, halayil at night we stood guard. V'hayoyim, when it was day, we did milocha. When did we do milocha? Va'anachnu oisim milocha. Dat. Me'alois ha'shachar. Ad tseis ha'koychavim. So that means we did milocha until tseis ha'koychavim. We stopped doing milocha. L'choira, when it says now that it's tseis ha'koychavim, we did mishmar. It's laila. The pasuk here seems to say very clearly, at least a very simple reading of the pasuk, is that Laila begins with the coming out of the stars. Now, here's what's important. Here's the Gemara. The Gemara Masechet Shabbos, Daf Lamed Daled. Tanu Rabbanan Ben Hashmashos. It's something called Ben Hashmashos. In between day and night. Safik min ayoyim min alayla, safik kulu min ayoyim, safik kulu min alayla, matil no esel luchumr shneyam. Veizehu ben hashmashos. Nunu, what's ben hashmashos? Whoever heard ben hashmashos? We just said, there is day. Day goes until me'alois ha'shachar ad tseis ha'kechavim. That's called day. Where did you ever get thing called tseis ha'kechavim? It's ben hashmashos. It's either day or night. So when is veizehu ben hashmashos? So look what he says over here. The Gemara over here, this is the Gemara. This is a Gemara Masechta Shabbos that cannot be ignored. Mishetishka hachama, from the time the sun sets, kolzman shepnei mizrach ma'adimin, as long as the east, the pnei mizrach, what does it mean, the pnei mizrach? Does that mean the east or does that mean the west? It's also a big debate. Hichsef ha'elyoin, the upper portion gets dark, v'hishvil atachtoin, but when the both sides get dark, zehu laila, divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Now we go to the next Gemara, and we'll now bring out the contradiction. The next Gemara is the Itmar, Shir Ben Ashmashais Bekama. What is the Shir Ben Ashmashais? Okay, the Gemara just tells you, Omar Rabba, Omar Rav Yehuda, Omar Shmuel, Shaloisha Chelke Mil, 3/4 of a mil. Okay, this part of the Gemara Mishach LeShabbos. The Gemara Mishach LeShabbos says, there's something called Mishetishka Hachama. When the sun is Tishka. And when the sun is Tishka, what happens? The Pnei HaMizrach is red. There are two different colors. There's the upper portion and the lower portion. One is dark, one is red. And when they both equal the same color, then it's Vadai Laila, which means that's the moment of the stars coming out. What is the gap of time from the time the sun sets until Tzeisa Koychavim? 3/4 of a mil, 17 minutes. Okay, now, next piece of Gemara. The Gemara says, where's the stira, the other piece of Gemara? I'll just read this over this. This Kosha, this remain. This who's recording over here? Okay, this is the Gemara. I read you the Gemara in Masechta Shabbos, and now there's a Gemara in Masechta Pesachim. What happened to that Gemara? Did I read it to you before? Where's the Gemara in Masechta Pesachim? Where did I put it? Okay, that was the Gemara. I know that was, but that was the piece of Gemara of. Give me 1 second. Let me just find it over here. One moment. Okay, I think here it is. 1 second. Here. Okay, here it is. Rabbi Yehuda Omer. Okay, this is the old year. Rabbi Yehuda Omer. Oivyoi shel rokia, the thickness of the rokia, echad me'asara biyom, 1/24th of the day. Now, what is that? Everything is all subject to interpretation. We don't need all this far now. Teida, kam halich adam beinoni biyom eser parsois, umahalois hashachar, from the time that you can the first rays of light ad honetzacham a sunrise. Is arbas milim mishkias. Now here we go. Mishkias hachama v'atzeis hakoychavim arbas milim nimsa oivya shel rokia echad me'asara b'yom is 1/10 of is one echad me'asara b'yom. I want to say echad. I'm sorry. 1/10 of a day. I'm sorry. 1/10 of the rokia. We don't need the whole calculation for our purposes. All we need to know is that when the Gemara talks about the amount of time it takes for the sun to depart the window, we mentioned before, according to ancient understanding, there's something called a dome. The dome is called the rakia. The rakia is not paper thin. They didn't have technology in those days to make such thin things, to block out all the light. The rakia is thick. This dome that covers the earth in ancient astronomy is thick. It's a very thick, thick dome. And it takes a lot of time for the sun to go through the aperture to get out of that rokia. The thickness, the oivei horokia. Okay, this is another term that is critical in understanding this major machlokes. The oivei horokia. And the Gemara makes a calculation. Part of the process of making this calculation, Rabbi Yehuda throws out words which have literally changed the world. And he says, how much time is there from the time Mishkia Sachamo, the time that the sun sets, the ad Tseis HaKoychavim? Answer, Arbahas Milin. 4 times 22.5, 90 minutes. Taisus Kasha. Taisus Kasha, we just learned over here that when is Tzeisak HaChavim, Tzeisak HaChavim is when the two sides, there's the Pnei HaMizrach. Let's assume that means the west. The Pnei HaMizrach means the opposite of the east, which means the west. The sun sets in the west. When the sun sets, it's red. You look at a beautiful sunset, so you see a reddish hue on the bottom of the horizon. And there's also a reddish, above, it's darker. So when the redness goes away and the lower portion of the horizon is equal to the upper portion of the horizon, that is now Tzeis HaKoychavim. Okay, does he say Tzeis HaKoychavim? Bein HaShmashas, that's the point. He says that's called Tzeis HaKoychavim. He says Tzeis HaKoychavim, V'yirzeh Bein HaShmashas, V'shotish Kachama, V'yadzman Shem B'bnei HaMizrach Ma'adimin. And then when they become the same exact color, then Zehu Laila. Ooh, Laila. What is Laila? We're assuming Laila is the same thing as Tzeis HaKoychavim. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Fractisis, what are you talking about? And then comes the Gemara. The Gemara, how long does it take from the time the sun sets until it's Zehu Laila? How much time does this take, the time of Tzeis HaKoychavim? How much time does it take? How much time? So the Gemara says, it's Shmuel 17 minutes. Then it's going to be called Zehu Laila, Divrei Rabbi Yehuda, the Yitmar Shir Ben HaShmashas V'Kamo, Amar Rav Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, same Rabbi Yehuda, 17 minutes. Fractisis, Kosha, Toch Mashma, the Shnu Mishkiya Sachama, V'Yara Laila, Leke Ella Tlas Revi Mil, 17 minutes. When the Gemara talks about the thickness of the Rokia, Sovar, the Mishkiya Sachama, Ad, Tzeis HaKoychavim, Arboha Milin, 90 minutes. There's a head-on collision between the Gemara Masechta Pesachim and the Gemara Masechta Shabbos. The Gemara Masechta Shabbos, when it talks about Bein HaShmoshois, and the Gemara says explicitly that after Bein HaShmoshois, it's Laila, the time from when the sun sets until Laila is 13 minutes. I'm going to say 17 minutes. But the same Rabbi Yehuda that said, the name of Shul, that it's 17 minutes, says in Masechta Pesachim that from the time the sun sets until Tzeis HaKoychavim is 90 minutes. How do you answer this question? Don't go give me an answer. What are you going to give me an answer? Taisa said, I have an answer for you. There are three zmanim. This is really, when Taisa says, don't tell me an answer, that's the answer. Right, Rabbi Yisai? Whenever someone tells you, don't say this answer, that's where the answer lies. It's not the same. There's something called Laila, there's something called Tzeis HaKoychavim, there's something called Yoim, and there's something called Bein HaShmashos. So there's Yoim, and after Yoim, we're almost finished, after Yoim, we can't die Marv until 12:08, it's 12:07. I have 1 minute, but you know, the 1 minute is a Rabbeinu Tam minute. Just joking. We have 1 minute left. Well, let's just sum this up. What is the Gemara? If you want to answer, Tais is alluding to a very simple answer. We have a contradiction. The Gemara seems to say that there is a Zman of 17 minutes versus a Zman of 90 minutes. Very simple. Look at the exact terms. There's something called day. After day, there's something called Bein HaShmashos, which lasts for 17 minutes. After Bein HaShmashos, there's something called Laila. And then from 17 minutes until 90 minutes, it's Laila. But when you come to 90 minutes, you've reached a Naya Zman. You're now holding by Tzeis HaKoychavim. So Laila is a very short period of time. Laila is only in between Tzeis HaKoychavim, is only in between Bein HaShmashos and Tzeis HaKoychavim. Whoever told you that 3 o'clock in the morning, it's Laila. It's not Laila. Laila, you learn, if you read the Gemara literally, Taisa says, don't say this. If Taisa has to tell me, don't say this, you can bet. You can have 100 people, Rishayim, they're going to say exactly this. Tell you an awesome Chiddush. Laila is a very short time. What's between it's 73 minutes. So Laila is only 73 minutes, according to only 73 minutes. That's it. No, that's Laila. After Laila, you now go into a Zman called Tseis HaKochavim. There is something called day. Day is from Alois HaShachar, the first rays of dawn, until the Shkia Sacham. That's called Yoim. Then there is a 17 period of time called Bein Hashmoshes. Then you come to, after 17 minutes, after the sun sets, you've now entered into a Zman called Laila. When does Laila end? It ends exactly 72 minutes later. What happens after you get to 72 minutes? You're holding now 90 minutes. It's no longer Laila. It's now Tseis HaKochavim. So when it comes to Shabbos, how do you define Shabbos? Do you define Shabbos by this answer I told you answers a million questions. The only problem is Tosfos says it's wrong. But this answer answers, it opens up a world of lamdas. There are four zmanim during the day. Day, Alois HaShachar until sunset. From sunset for the next 17 minutes is Bein Hashmoshes. From Bein Hashmoshes for the next 73 minutes only, it's Laila. Laila. Laila is over. You're done. No more Laila. Laila is over. And now begins a Naya Tekufa of Tseis HaKochavim. A different Zman. Kriyashma. When do you say Kriyashma? None of the above. Kriyashma is Uveshach Becha. When you go to sleep. When do people go to sleep? So we'll figure it out when people go to sleep. Uvekumecha. Shabbos. Uvayoyim Hashvi Shavas Vayinofash. Shabbos is a din in the... Uvayoyim Hashvi is a calendar day. How do you define a calendar day? Okay, yeah. Every halacha, you have to be very precise in when in these four different zmanim. It would answer a lot of questions and it would open up a whole new world of possibility in explaining many, many different inyanim by understanding that there's a zman called Laila and there's a zman called Tseis HaKochavim, which are mutually exclusive. Rabbeinu Tam says, I know that. I know there's people that want to say that, but you're all wrong. Laila and Tseis HaKochavim are exactly the same thing. So once you want to say they're exactly the same thing, you have an impossible contradiction between the Gemara Masechta Pesachim and the Gemara Masechta Shabbos, which along comes the Rabbeinu Tam, and he says an incredible chiddush. There is a double shkia, two shkia sachama. He says the way we're going to answer the kasha is that the shkia sachama that's discussed in one Gemara is not the shkia sachama in the other Gemara, and basically Tseis HaKochavim is going to be 17, the last 17 minutes before the 90 minutes. Okay, this is a big, big goal. Okay, but I hope at least we got a little appreciation of some of these topics. Tipa Shabiyam. Amen.